Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Tonight, President Trump campaigns in Iowa, a state he easily won 4 years ago. Joe Biden holds a virtual fundraising event. It is just 20 days until Election Day, so let's get to it with our political strategist this week, Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, Robin.
And Matt Mikowiak, the Republican. Hi to you, Matt.
Hi there.
And I think we all can agree that it's very likely that Judge Amy Coney Barrett will be confirmed to the Supreme Court before Election Day. So this entire week of hearings may be about just firing up the base, Democrats making it about the court overturning Obamacare and voting rights, and Republicans making it about defense of faith and her being a suburban mom. And I should add, maybe in the case of the chair, Lindsey Graham, you know, speaking to voters in his tough reelection bid. But Matt, start with you briefly. Do you think it's having an impact on voters?
Well, it is in the sense that it's reminding voters of the importance of the Supreme Court and of President Trump's record in this area, where obviously there are partisan differences. But I think broadly speaking, the country is generally supportive of the judges he's put on the bench. I think obviously this is a winning issue for Trump. It's a helpful issue. It unifies the Republican Party entirely. And it pushes other things, off the front page and off of our, sort of cable news channels. So I think it's helpful. I think that the president putting forward a qualified nominee who's so easy to connect with and is so engaging and impressive is very positive. And that's why I think at this point the Democrats don't even really seem to be putting up much of a fight.
Well, Jamal, do you think presidents have acknowledged or are accepting that this is just going to be the way it is?
I think Democrats are fighting on terrain for the voters they think are actually swayable here. The reality is two Republican senators have already said, both of them women, have already said they wouldn't support having this nomination fight in the midst before the presidential election occurs. If one or two more Republicans were to be swayed in that way, then they could stop the nomination from being confirmed before Election Day. Those are long odds. But what Democrats are making the case is that this may not have that big an impact on the election, but it will have a big impact on the future of Roe versus Wade, whether or not that remains legal, and whether or not we still have pre-existing conditions covered by health care plans. So that's the ground that Democrats are going after, particularly targeting suburban women who are concerned about those issues.
Well, it's also perhaps about who wins this election. And yesterday, Democrat Chris Coons asked Coney Barrett about President Trump sowing confusion about the election and, maybe rushing her confirmation so she could vote in his favor if there's a disputed election that comes before the court. And she would not commit to recusing herself. Let's listen.
I certainly hope that all members of the committee have more confidence in my integrity than to think that I would allow myself to be used as a pawn to decide this election for the American people.
Matt, this is a president who has been on steroids, has been, railing about, investigations by his attorney general that didn't go the way he wanted, lashing out. As a strategist, what are you hearing? First of all, are Republicans worried about what President Trump might do if he doesn't win? Are you concerned?
No, I'm not concerned. I mean, I think both sides have signaled that they are going to pursue legal challenges if they lose, and that's perfectly appropriate. You saw the Gore campaign do that in 2000, and it ultimately was decided at the Supreme Court. If either side were to, somehow go beyond those legal remedies, I think the vast majority of the country would rise up against that. And that's true if it was the president. It's true if it was former Vice President Biden. So, no, I don't have any concerns about a peaceful transfer of power or about President Trump refusing to leave office. This will ultimately get settled either through the courts or through an election and a process where it's clear who won the election. I don't think it's going to be clear on election night. I think it's going to take some time. And in fact, it may be so close that a couple states decide it and the mail ballots that come in 7 to 10 days later could actually flip a couple states and perhaps even change who wins. So I think we're going to be in for a long haul and it's going to be pretty divisive, but I don't have a lot of concern about it. I think the courts will ultimately clear this up and rule on the merits.
And Jamal, I mean, we're speculating, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just listening to I mean, Matt should not, I guess he's not concerned, but I'm listening to even the language he uses, which is mail-in ballots may flip a couple states. That implies that there will be a result that is flippable, right? The reality is we won't know the result until those mail-in ballots come. So that's, there's not a state that is that can be turned. The question is, what is the accurate count? So the concern that I think a lot of people have, not just Democrats, is that the president himself, the vice president himself, would not commit to a peaceful transfer of power. That is just an amazing outcome or amazing point in the middle of a democratic process that's been going on since George Washington refused to be named king. So we've got to make sure that the president, Donald Trump, is held to the standard every other president was held to before him, including I worked for Al Gore. And when Al Gore lost that Supreme Court case, he could have kept fighting on other grounds. But the vice president decided, you know what, for the sake of the country and the democracy, I will stand down with my forces and allow a peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the things that Joe Biden's being asked, you know, Trump is being asked, will he accept the vote? Biden's being asked, what about, you know, payback? And if he wins, if the Democrats win the Senate, will they go for court packing, expanding the Supreme Court? And he gave his first substantive answer to that question. You know, would he side with the progressives in his party pushing for this expansion to protect abortion rights, gay marriage, the Affordable Care Act? He spoke with WKRC in Cincinnati.
I'm not a fan of court packing, but I'm not. I don't want to get off on that whole issue. I want to keep focused. The president would love nothing better than to fight about whether or not I would, in fact, pack the court or not pack the court, et cetera. The focus is, why is he doing what he's doing now?
Jamal, is he succeeding on deflecting this?
Yes, I think that Joe Biden's position is that there are a long way between here and him being able to make decisions about this, including whether or not there's a Republican Senate. There's a Republican Senate. In many ways, the question is even moot. I, however, am of the case that if the Republicans go along and defy the very standard that they put in place for Barack Obama, that all rules are off the table. Democrats should be looking at whether or not there should be more justices on the Supreme Court, eliminating the Electoral College, whether or not we should change redistricting laws around the country because they keep fouling with the census. Everything is now on the table, and Democrats should push as hard as possible and make the Republicans play defense.
Yeah. Meanwhile, last night in Pennsylvania, President Trump held his second mostly maskless, not socially distanced rally in 2 days. And he said this after boasting about blocking low-income housing in the suburbs.
So can I ask you to do me a favor? Suburban women, will you please like me? Remember? Please. Please. I saved your damn neighborhood, okay?
Ooh, Matt, that is not a dog whistle. That is a trumpet. I saved your neighborhood from what, you know, in blocking low-income housing. As a strategist, is that the way to get suburban women over to your side? Polling shows that they support, for instance, the Black Lives Matter movement.
Well, I think he's probably talking more about law and order, instilling law and order in our cities. But he does obviously believe that action related to HUD would have been something that would have changed the kind of the fabric of suburbs in ways that people who live there, you know, may not have wanted. I think it's that, you know, healthcare, education, those kind of issues are going to be much more affecting for suburban women. And there's no doubt in 2018, Democrats made gains with suburban women, and that's why they flipped the House and won 41 seats. Republicans have to find a way to win them back. And I think the more that we talk about the economy, the Supreme Court, law and order and making sure our neighborhoods and cities and the suburbs are safe. I think those are all winning issues for the president. He needs to stay on that message for the next 20 days.
Well, and for instance, we have Joe Biden. We're not going to hear it now, but, you know, talking to Florida seniors yesterday saying, hey, the Republicans are hugging each other. When was the last time you could hug your grandchild? Matt, some pundits are starting to use the word landslide in reference to a Biden win.
Yeah, I think that's unlikely. I don't buy the national polls showing a 12 or 14 point lead. I mean, I do think that Biden has gained over that 10-day period from the first debate through the president getting COVID and how the White House handled it. I think things are starting to come back now. And look, these states are close. It's going to depend a lot on the ground game, who gets turned out, data operations. how efficiently you're spending your money, what your closing message is, all those things are going to make a difference. I think right now you'd rather be Biden than Trump, but I think Trump's team does have an enthusiasm advantage, and that could make a difference. Again, I believe this is going to be a very, very, very close election.
Jamal, are you worried? Go ahead. Yeah.
Am I worried? Listen, what I'm worried about is that Democrats get a little bit complacent, and that'd be the question you were going to ask. But, you know, there's one suburban wife and mom who should be concerned about violence and who is concerned about violence, and that's the governor of Michigan, who was targeted by extremist terrorist gangs who wanted to kidnap her. I think that if we're going to have a conversation about people being safe in the election, the question is, are the Trump forces, whether they're the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Boys, or whatever group it is they want to call themselves, who want to go into election centers and target voters on their way in to get ballots, are we concerned that there's a right-wing extremist faction in the country that will not abide by the laws of the country? And the president seems to be enabling those people and not dialing them down.
It's quite something. Matt, I'm going to give you just a last quick answer. Are you as sure as you were the last time we spoke that Senator Lindsey Graham was going to win re-election in South Carolina? Just quick.
Yeah, we've never seen anyone raise $57 million in one quarter as Jamie Harrison did on the Democratic side. I still think with Trump's margin in South Carolina, that's really hard for Harrison to overcome. But it's going to be a very, very close election.
Matt Mikowiak, the Republican. Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Thank you both.
Thanks, Robin.
Take care.
Bye.